Hi, this is Linda Rax with Our Life in the Trinity. Welcome, everybody. It's great to be with you one more time. Our passage today is Philippians 2, 5-11. I will be reading that at some point, New American Standard Bible. We're going to talk about unity and humility. We're going to have communion together at the end. And we're going to close with a benediction. But first, as we get started, let's take a minute in prayer. Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for your love for us expressed to us in your Son, Jesus, and in your gift of the Spirit so we can share in his life with you. We're just asked today that you would share your word with us. Write it on our hearts. Give us a deeper understanding of who you are, who you made us to be, and what it is you would have us do in our lives here in the Trinity. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Today I'd like to talk about the humble path to unity. We're coming to the end of the season of preparation for Easter. We've been thinking about our need for Christ, recognizing that we fall so short of who God meant us to be as participants in his love and life. We realize that apart from what Jesus has done and is doing, we would go off on our own and be left in our darkness. And so during the Christian calendar, we have learned about the coming of God in Christ. We've learned about Epiphany is revelation as to who he is. And now we've thought about our need for him. Today is Palm Sunday, April 2nd. This would be the day we participate as we celebrate in Jesus' triumphant arrival in Jerusalem right before his crucifixion. This is the first day of Holy Week. We can read a little bit more about Palm Sunday in Matthew 21, 1-11. You can see where this is a fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, and Jesus, instead of riding, you know, the big white steed to come to rescue the day as a conquering king, he comes on a humble donkey, the kind of transportation the everyday man used, and he has people throwing their garments in front of him, shouting Hosanna, excited that he's coming. But these are the people, the Galilean pilgrims coming into Jerusalem. And the people of Jerusalem began to ask, who is this? And I think today we need to think about, who is this? Who is Jesus? That actually is one of the most important questions we can come to terms with, is who is Jesus? The companion passage in the New Testament for today is Philippians 2, 5-11. And this kind of takes a little bit from, I think it's an early Christian hymn, possibly. It's kind of poetic. And it goes like this. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We see in this passage that it gets down to the nitty-gritty of who Jesus was and is. Jesus, while he was here on earth, taught us about who God is. He taught us that God is Father, God is Son. God is Holy Spirit. They are one. Somehow that's possible. In our modern scientific world, we understand the idea of three things being in the same place at the same time, being one. When we look at things like music, we understand a chord has three individual notes, but it's one tone. It's possible, but it's hard to get our mind around. The reality that God is one being, three persons and one being, who lives eternally and has always lived in other-centered love. When you read the Gospels, you see how in so many ways, and even in other areas, but we see how God is always willing to let another take the lead. The Father lets the Son take the lead when it comes to the crucifixion, but it says that God was in Christ as he's dying on the cross. We see them submitting to the work of the Holy Spirit now after Pentecost, letting the Spirit work to bring to fruition all that Jesus worked out in his life and death and resurrection. So we see a mutual indwelling, a mutuality in the Trinity. And there is this great humility that God himself would be willing to, the Son of God, set aside the privileges, the benefits of his divinity to join us in our humanity. And he didn't join us in a place of exaltation. He joined us as a babe in a manger. To think that God would allow himself to be cared for as an infant, as a child, to suffer the things Jesus suffered, the rejection, all of the offenses, our human frailties, and he underwent them all. He has such humility, even to the point of allowing himself to be crucified. Jesus willingly laid his life down. At any moment, he could have walked away from the cross, but he didn't. He chose to stay and to die for our sake, thinking of someone other than himself. So, going on, we're reading in Philippians 2, it goes, he said that he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Then he says, for this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So we see that the Father, because Jesus so humbled himself, exalts him and raises him so that Jesus, as the Son of God, Son of Man, bears our human flesh in the presence of the Father now in the Spirit. And we find ourselves in the midst of the divine life in that way. Paul tells us something fundamental about Jesus' identity, that he's one of three persons in the triune God, and that he was willing to lay everything down for our sake, so that we could be with God forever. Going to the topic of unity, we see that we were created for unity. We think about that in Genesis, it talks about how we were made in the image of God, after his likeness. The image of the God who lives in oneness, even though each person is equal yet unique, yet they are one. They're uniquely related to one another, and so, but they are one. They are persons in relationship, and they are one. There's never disunity in the Trinity. However, all we have to do is look around us, and we see that we as human beings tend to lean toward disunity rather than unity, even within the body of Christ, sad to say. And that is because we're not living in the truth of who we are in Christ. We're not living out the reality that we are God's adopted children, meant to participate in that union and communion. We can only have the fellowship of the Spirit when we're living and walking in the truth of who we are, in a true humility before God and man. Unity doesn't happen unless we're willing to be humble, unless we're willing to let someone else take the lead sometimes, let someone else have the glory sometimes, let someone else be the one that matters. It's really hard to have unity when pride gets in the way, when conceit gets in the way, when selfishness and self-centeredness gets in the way. We learn about humility from Jesus. For example, he spent so much time during his ministry saying, "I'm not the conquering king Messiah. That's just not who I am." He was living out the reality of Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. He was willing to suffer. He was willing to be less than for a while. In the end, God exalted him above all, but for the time, he was willing to be truly humble. He is our perfect example of genuine humility. And Jesus knew what it was like to be human. He was fully human. He knew our temptations and our tests and our struggles. He lived his life without sin because being God in human flesh, but he knew what it was like to go through everything we went through. He allowed himself to be crucified. He could have walked away at any moment, but he had the humility to let us do to him what we did to him and allowed himself to be crucified. And it's interesting that what humans deem shameful and degrading, for example, the cross, crucifixion, being less than, being scorned, being spit upon, that Jesus embraced this. Jesus embraced it, went toward it. You read in the Gospels how he just chose, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He knew what it was going to take to bring us home to the Father, and he said, "All right, we're going to go do that, even if it costs me everything." He embraced and used what we would look down upon, because he used it to unite us forever with God in the Spirit. The result of Jesus' true humility, his utter humility, was he was exalted by the Father into glory. And he shows us that the true path to glory, the glory that really is eternal and lasting, sorry, I have a cold, is the path through humility. To true unity, we must walk the path of humility, and we must be free from our pride, ourself, all these things we put in the way of that unity that is ours in Christ. The price we pay for unity is, one of them is humility. And Jesus calls us to grow up in him, to allow the Spirit to work in us, to give us his humility. The Heavenly Spirit that Jesus sent to us on Pentecost, who has come to dwell with man, in man, he gives us the true humility we need, because he gives us Christ to live in us. And as we grow in humility and we live in Christ, Christ lives in us. We live in the Father. We live in oneness and unity. And this is what should be reflected within the body of Christ is humility. Sadly, we as followers of Christ are sometimes the worst about our disunity because we sometimes don't have the humility to let others, be above us or whatever. We don't own up to our own failures, weaknesses, our need for God, our need for others, and we don't have that humility to realize how much we need Christ and be transparent, authentic in our walk with Christ. You know, every one of us is just as dependent upon the grace of God as every other person in the world. Some of us just won't admit it. And that's the thing. So, one question that has kind of popped out at me about this is, you know, what about our politicians today? How many of them are willing to take the path to unity required by humility? Like Jesus did, the path that led to shame and degradation. Would they be willing to lay down their life for the people that they are responsible to serve? That's a tough one. Because, you know, when it comes to politics, we don't even want to talk about that, right? But it begs a question. What about those of us who are business people, who run a business or are involved in a business in some way, in some level? We're making money or is even trying to serve people. How many of us are willing to do the hard thing and serve others and be humble rather than seeking our own benefit, our own glory, our own success, our own bottom line? Sadly, we're too often concerned about the bottom line and not concerned about being humble and serving and helping others. But I think the thing is we have to face the reality on any level in our life when it comes to true humility. This is really hard. In fact, in some ways, we might think it's impossible. And I'd agree. I find it really hard to be humble at times. In fact, probably more often than I care to admit. There are times when I didn't even know I'm being prideful. And later on, I realize, oh, wow, how arrogant I have been. And I didn't even know. So, sometimes we don't know what we don't know, right? But being truly humble, doesn't come naturally for us. But Jesus said nothing is impossible for God. And Jesus comes and lives a truly humble life to the point of dying on the cross. And lays down his life, and he offers that to you and me in his Holy Spirit. And he says to us, you follow me, you have to die to yourself. Die with me, rise with me. And we symbolically do that through death and resurrection, through baptism and communion. But Jesus, for our sake, to ensure that we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're accepted, we're transformed, to give us new life, now and forever, he was willing to do that at the price of his own dignity, his own loss of life, his own suffering. Why? Because God loves you, and God loves me, and God loves everybody. He created us, he loves us, he always meant for us to be with him forever, and he's not going to stop until that is accomplished. And Jesus did his part, sent the Spirit, and the Spirit's working out now in each of us individually what Jesus did in his life here, and his death, and his resurrection, and ascension. So, I think, you know, this brings us to a place where we have to ask ourselves, you know, how am I doing with this? Sometimes we don't even recognize our need for humility. And so when someone starts to talk about it, it just kind of, you know. But I think we can still confess our need for humility and have open hands toward Jesus and receive his humility by the Spirit, asking him for his heart of humility and service so that we can live in unity with others and to have that oneness. And we can come, as we do weekly, to the communion table and be reminded, as we affirm the essentials of our faith, that we died with Christ, we rose with Christ, we share in his glory now and forever. As we participate with Christ in his death and resurrection, we can grow in humility. We can receive his humility. We die daily, but we live daily in Christ as well. So let's pray, and then we'll take the elements together. Father, thank you for offering us your Son. And thank you, Jesus, for so willingly laying yourself down for our benefit, for being so humble, so gracious, a suffering servant, offering yourself in our place on our behalf. Thank you. Bless us now as we take these elements, that we can find our true humility in you. Grant that your life might be our life. We thank you that it is so. In your name we pray. So Jesus offered his body, broken for us. Thank you, Jesus. And Jesus offered his blood poured out for us. Such grace and humility. Thank you, Jesus. Now may our glorious Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, who humbled himself that we might be raised with him in the Spirit, bless you, watch over you, smile on you, and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit, God bless you. May God go with you this week. Check out our website, lifeinthetrinity.blog, and our studies site at www.wordpress.com/trinitystudies, Our Life in the Trinity Studies. And there you can find study questions and learn a little bit more about your life in Christ. God bless you.